speak with the brethren there. While they are small still in number, they're doing well. They have a young man that's studying at George Fox and yet preaches for them on a regular basis. So they're very blessed in that aspect. We are glad you're back. And I have this interesting lesson. And when you look at the scriptures, it's interesting to see what made Jesus's ministry successful. And one thing that stands out when we take a real careful look at it is the fact that Jesus rested. And what we mean by that, he took a break from his normal routine and engaged in just, well, doing nothing except for connecting back with God and refreshing himself. Now, traditionally, we find that professors and teachers take sabbaticals. And that very word comes from the idea that God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. And so he told the Jews, when he made them his chosen nation, his people, in the Ten Commandments, that you can work 6 days, but you got to honor the Sabbath. And really, that wasn't just a commandment to keep out of conformity. It's really a command of grace. 6 days, you have to provide for yourselves, but the sixth day, just rest. Stop working. Cease. Remember me, who brought you into this land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to continue to take care of you. Isn't that a message of grace, just to have the chance to rest? And so it's not surprising for us to consider that Jesus himself rested while he was conducting his ministry on this earth. And we're going to see that he consistently took time from his ministry to rest. We want to look at the book of Mark and follow Jesus and see how his ministry was very successful, and that success was connected with the pattern that he took in taking time to pray to God and then also just resting from his ministry. It's a simple message, but in many ways, it's very profound. So first of all, let's look at the pattern of planned prayer. In Mark chapter 1, I'd like you to read along in all these in your Bible. We see that John the Baptist is thrown into prison, and it is this time that Jesus begins his ministry. And it begins with great success. He cleanses and heals people, casts out demons. And we see in verse 28, immediately the news about him went out everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. He heals Simon Peter, his mother-in-law. And we find in verse 32, when evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. This is quite a statement. The whole city had gathered at the door. Right out of the chute, Jesus was wildly successful in his ministry. But you have to notice verse 35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place. Your Bible might say a desert place. And he was praying there. Now, when you ask yourself, well, how deserted was it? How far did he go out to be by himself? Simon and his companions hunted for him. That's an active word. They're searching for him actively, and they did not find him easily. And the next clue to how much he hid himself is in the next verse. When they did find him, they said to him, "Everybody's looking for you. Like, where have you been? Don't you know we have a job to do?" Now, if everyone is looking for Jesus, they all know what he looks like. How well did he hide himself? Pretty well, didn't he? But he was there while it was dark, and he was praying. He connects back with God, and I'm going to suggest throughout this lesson that it was connection with God that brought the success to his ministry. His reliance upon his Almighty, because he was doing God's will and not his own. And so we see that the secluded place, it's an interesting, if your Bible does say deserted or desert, it means an unpopulated place. It's a place where that you're not going to see agriculture. It's not a place where there's dwellings that exist. It's a place where you could be alone. There's quietness. There's freedom from disturbance. One person wrote that it's interesting. It's in these deserted places where resources are limited. The unlimited God sometimes does his greatest work. It's when we go into the desert and we touch back with God that God touches us. And that's why perhaps the psalmist writes, David, when he's being pursued and his life has just turned upside down and his enemies are pursuing him, he said in chapter 55 of Psalms, verse 6, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest." And in verse 7, he said, "I would fly to the wilderness," because he knew that's where he could be alone and perhaps he could find his God once again. Well, this pattern of planned prayer created this pattern of this amazing, successful work. We'll just look at three passages. Chapter 1, then again in verse 45, that we find that he went out and to proclaim it freely and he spread the news about. That's this man that Jesus healed. And to the extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city. So he stayed out in the unpopulated areas. That'd be the deserted areas. But that didn't help. They were coming to him from everywhere. Now, Mark is one of the briefest gospels. He doesn't elaborate. He uses short descriptions. He loves the word immediately. But when he says they're coming from everywhere, you know he meant it. They're flocking to Jesus from all different areas. In chapter 3, we find in verse 7 and 8, the Pharisees are taking great issue with Jesus because he had healed on the Sabbath. And they're plotting how to destroy him with the Herodians. And so Jesus, verse 7, withdrew to the sea with his disciples. Well, that didn't matter because a great multitude from Galilee followed and also from Judea and from Jerusalem and from Adumah and beyond the Jordan and the besetting of Tyre and Sidon, and a great multitude heard of all that he was doing and came to him. That's amazing how successful his ministry is. A great number of people. Then in chapter 3 and verse 20, it came about that he finally goes home to Nazareth. And the multitude gathered again to such extent, now get this, that he could not even a meal. Now, I've been busy. There's been times that I've been busy that I had to skip a meal. But I've never been this busy. And Jesus in his ministry has so many people pursuing him, demanding his time, that he couldn't even pause to eat a meal. Now, he wasn't superhuman. He didn't invoke his divine powers to physically sustain him. He was man, a God in the flesh, and he was tempted in the flesh like you and I. You know he got hungry, didn't he? We know that in the temptation in the wilderness, he became hungry. His body was subjected to the same weariness that you and I are subjected to, and the same hunger. He needed refreshment. He needed to restore himself. But yet, he didn't have a chance to at this moment. And so that's what we're going to see, that he still maintained this pattern of prayer. And that would contribute to his success. In Luke chapter 5, when the news about him is spreading farther and farther, large crowds were gathering to be healed of their sickness. Here in contrast, but Jesus himself, the word himself is the word idios, which we get idiosyncrasy. This is something peculiar to Jesus, and it's put in this position in contrast to what the large crowds were doing. They're coming to him, but Jesus, what would he do? What was peculiar to him? He would often slip away to the wilderness. Now, that word slip away, I love looking at words and trying to understand what they mean. Here is this idea of to withdraw, to retire from, to go back, to retreat. Sometimes it would be translated that way. So he's on the front lines, battling for the kingdom of God against the spiritual powers of wickedness. And there comes the time that he consistently, though, would just pull back, retreat. And it wasn't just to do nothing, but back to the wilderness to pray, to reconnect, to refocus, and to refresh his spirit. And so that pattern continued itself. And we're going to see that that leads to a pattern in the book of Mark and throughout the Gospels of secluded rest that he took upon himself and included his disciples continually. Look with me in Mark chapter 6. When we look now that Jesus is getting more towards the middle of his ministry, he hasn't fed the 5,000 that comes up yet afterwards. And after that situation, they're so enraptured with who Jesus is, they want to make him king. And that time he sends them away and he goes up the mountain again to pray, trying to keep focused on God and not on himself. Because sometimes when you're in the ministry, it is so easy to stay so focused on the work that you lose focus on the one whom you're serving. Jesus didn't do that. He always went back up on the mountain to the wilderness to pray, to remind himself whose will he was serving. And that's what he included his disciples in. Verse 30. The apostles gathered together with Jesus. They reported to him all they had been doing, they had done and taught. Remember, they were sent out on several commissions, a limited one, as the 70, and then the apostles, disciples by themselves. They come back in Luke 20 rejoicing, you know, Luke chapter 10, verse 20, because they could even cast out demons in the name of Jesus. But in the midst of all their success and their excitement, he says, tell you what. Well, let's read it, verse 31. Come away by yourselves. That's the same word, idios. You make this your habit. Idiosyncratic to you. You come away by yourselves to a, here's our next word we've already seen, a lonely place. The isolated place, the unpopulated place, the place that is limited in resources. Why would I go there? There's one word, and rest for a while. So again, I have to look up this word rest because I think that's interesting as well. But so let's look at all these words together. First one we see is this word rest. And I just want to draw your attention to here. It's rest after the needed task is completed. And here it is, to pause. To pause. Because is their mission totally done? No. But he says, let's step back, retreat into the wilderness, and just take a break. Well, no, Lord. No. Let's step back, retreat into the wilderness, and pause. Reset. And then we'll finish the work later. You look at the word, it's found in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says, ye are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Some refreshment. I'm going to give you a pause because I understand it's hard. The same word is also found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's very interesting there. It's Paul uses it as Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaeus. Because they come to Paul and supply, he says, what was lacking on your part? But here he says, they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. It's the same word. They refreshed. So when you go take a pause and stop from the work, it's a time for refreshing. And they needed it. In 2 Corinthians, the same word is used there again. We've been comforted. And besides, our come to rejoice even much more for the joy of Titus because his spirit has been refreshed, rested by you all. So it's very curious that Jesus rests habitually as a pattern. And it was part of his success in his ministry. Mark chapter 7, sometimes it becomes very, very difficult for him to maintain this pattern. Jesus got up and went away from there to the house of the region of Tyre. And when he entered the house, he wanted no one to know of it. Can you imagine that? Someone suggests, I'm done with people for a while. I just need to get away. So he goes to the coast. That's where Tyre is. Don't you love going to the Oregon coast? And he didn't want anyone to know he was there. Now, there's times I've felt that way, and I felt guilty for feeling that way. When you read this, there's no guilt that you should assume. Because it's natural and it's normal. And yet, he wanted no one to know of it, but he could not escape their notice. Now, that's an interesting word, escape. It means to run, to hide yourself. He's trying to hide. Escape being seen by anyone couldn't happen. And I guess that's why some celebrities, when they go into a public place, they go incognito with the disguise, because they want to escape being noticed. Jesus was not foreign to that feeling. He understood how important it was to get away, and he treasured that, and he manufactured that time alone. But yet, we see Luke chapter 4, going back to the same account that was found in Mark chapter 1, but Luke's parallel passage. When day came, Jesus left, and he went to a secluded place. And the crowds were searching for him. And he came and tried to keep him from going away from them. Now you have to pause and just reflect on that. He leaves, goes to the desert place. It's the same place. Limited resources, all alone, quietness, peace. But the crowds keep looking for him. It's continuous. Where's Jesus? Where's the master? They find him, and that's implied because they came to him, right? And when someone found him, the message spread real quickly. He's over here. They all came to him. Did they stop there? No, they tried to keep him from going away from them. Now, what does that imply he was trying to do? Leave once again. And they would have nothing to do with that. Yet sometimes it was very difficult. And you can understand, Jesus walked the earth. Everybody wants his time. Everyone wants his power. Everyone wants his blessing. And I can't imagine how people pressed us against him. And here he says to them, "That's all right. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for this I was sent for this purpose." Jesus understood his focus. And when he spent his time alone, or when it was interrupted, he did not go retreat and quit. He went back and finished the job, being refreshed. So, let's make some applications. Jesus rested. The word sabbatical means a period of time in which someone doesn't do his work or his regular job. That's just from Webster Dictionary. It's to break or change from their normal routine. Jesus rested, and so must I. Jesus maintained a rhythm of public ministry and personal rest. And that dance is difficult to maintain. You know, in preachers, I can say this, PJ, you can acknowledge it or say, "No way, that's not me," but we're an odd lot. And for many reasons, but chiefly preachers care. And if they don't care, they shouldn't be preaching. And so keeping that same rhythm that Jesus did is very, very challenging. And sometimes we get out of balance. There's an ebb and flow into our ministry. There's a time when you give. And there's a time when you receive. There's a time when we work, and there has to be a time when we rest. You know, Ecclesiastes says there's a time for every season in life. And we've already seen that Jesus, when things were successful, he retreated and prayed. When Jesus was going to make major decisions, we didn't look at that, but before he picked the 12, he went up in the mountain and prayed. He took off time during the heavy times of ministry, and he took off time when he just got tired of people. And so when laboring, as I already suggested, there's a real danger in taking our eyes off Jesus and focusing on what we're doing. And when we do that, things can unravel. They don't have to, but they may. And so I have approached the elders, and I've asked for what amounts to is this sabbatical. I asked for 3 months off. And what I mean is no work, no teaching, no classes, no office time. I've been here 15 years this July. And we've had a good run and a great work by largely everybody's effort combined. And it's time I need to take just some time off to go into the wilderness. BJ, we've talked with him, the elders, and I, and he's agreed to assume all the preaching and teaching responsibilities in that 3 months. And I'm so confident in his ability that he's going to be able to do a splendid job during that 3 month time. Anytime you announce something like this, there's all some questions that come up in people's minds. So let me address those right now. Please be sure. Personally, I'm okay. My wife and I are okay. We probably haven't been better in our whole life than we are right now. Amen, Ann? There's no crisis. My faith is fine. Can I just say it? I'm just tired. And sometimes it's easy to mask that because we just go. That's what we do in our jobs. But I understand now why teachers perhaps get summers off. I don't know how Brad and Debbie and Jennifer teach all day long. And if they had to teach all year, I don't know how you would do that. And let me just also address this. Sometimes when you say you're tired, the congregation might respond, well, we didn't do our job. We failed somehow. No. I have no fault with you. When I think of you, I just think of the word gratitude. I'm so grateful for your support throughout all these years. And so there's no problem there whatsoever. I'm just so very grateful for all your support. Ann said, don't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. She often tells me, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Have you ever heard that's a saying, isn't it? They use my name. I wonder if there's some truth to that. So Jack just needs time to refresh. And it's humbling to ask for time off. And I'm grateful for the elders for granting it. I can't tell you how much. We're supposed to persevere. We're supposed to prevail. It's the American way, just man up. And to admit that you need some time off is humbling. But I get to the place I realize that I have to ask. And as soon as they said yes, I went home and my spirit had changed just that quickly. And I realized I'd done the right thing. So I can come back stronger and better. So you ask, well, what will you be doing? Well, I'm going to still be worshiping here because you're my church family. Where else would I go? Although I have a chance with Ann to visit other congregations. And BJ understands this. When you're preaching, this is your workplace as well as your worship place. And you really don't have a chance to visit other churches in the area. Lord willing, I want to have people over socially just for that connection. Just to enjoy people, enjoy your presence. And I'm not going to be like Jesus who went and hid himself so everyone has to search for him. No, I'll be still here and you can call me, even though I might not be in the office at all. I want to spend time with my daughter in Colorado. It might be the time the Lord has led me to, and my wife and I, that we can reconnect with her and hopefully so she can reconnect with the Lord. I want to work with my son-in-law, David Mariano, who wants to preach, and I just want to spend time to get to know him and to work with him on that level. And of course, I want to spend a lot of time praying and personal time in the Word for myself, just for myself. And of course, I'm sure Ann has a few tasks around the house that I could do, and I enjoy doing that. It's very therapeutic. I will be preaching one meeting in April in the Seattle area, but that's about it. I want to spend more time out, you know, in God's creation and doing those kind of things that are refreshing, and you're alone in the wilderness. So then the last thing, what can you do? That's a good question. Just carry on. Keep doing the work that you're doing that causes this congregation to grow and be the wonderful family that it is. it's not going to be that difficult. In fact, I thought sometimes I should ask for 6 months off, but 3 months will pass so quickly. This gives us opportunity to continue to excel. Support BJ. Just pray for him and support him, as you already do. And support and pray for the elders. There's no way I can express to you how hard and difficult it is for two shepherds to shepherd a flock of 160 members. It's very difficult. It's overwhelming. This next Sunday, I'll be preaching on the eldership and qualifications for an elder, just to put that back in your mind so we can even consider having new elders. And pray for me as well, as I continue to pray for you. This will start March 1st, 13 weeks, and we have a meeting in May with Donnie Peeler, right, I know that. And at the end of that meeting, June 5th will be the first Sunday I'll be back, Lord willing. And I just have to say thank you. And I pray that you might honor this and you might understand, because it's not like me to even ask. I didn't know that Paul was going to pick this song, because I haven't told anyone except the elders and my wife and then my family members. I wanted you all to know first, but it's interesting how apropos this song. 7:16, right? Walking alone at eve and viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come and to welcome each silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in his power and might is showing his truth and love. Oh, for a home with God, a place in his courts to rest, sure in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul, once redeemed by the Savior love, while I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Let's sing this song. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we sing just the first and last verses, please.